NBA All-Star Weekend is underway in New Orleans. To catch us up on the first half of the season and to preview what's ahead, we're joined by Sports Illustrated senior writer Chris Ballard. Chris, welcome back to Only a Game.
Thanks for having me on again.
First of all, in your opinion, what's been the NBA's biggest storyline through the first half of the season?
Either Kevin Durant playing at this surreal level, which is remarkable to watch, or it's the implosion of both New York teams, which has also been fun to watch.
As long as you're not in New York.
Exactly.
The Miami Heat have won the last two NBA championships, and they have LeBron James. But the Indiana Pacers lead the Eastern Conference standings. What are the chances the Pacers stay on top?
I think it's good. I think this is going to be so much fun to watch. You're going to have these preliminary rounds in the Eastern Conference, and then we're going to see Pacers Heat, and it's going to go seven games, and it might come down to who has home court advantage, which I know Indiana is spending a lot of time worrying about. And we all know LeBron will probably up his level in the playoffs, but the combination of defense and Paul George playing at an MVP level, I think Indiana's got a real shot.
Shifting to the Western Conference, every year we wonder when the San Antonio Spurs will finally give up chasing the NBA championship and compete at something more, I don't know, age-appropriate, maybe bingo. Have we finally reached the year when the Spurs can't keep up with the rest of the Western Conference?
Yeah, I can just see Tim Duncan doing shuffleboard, right? they've been ravaged by injuries, and what's always remarkable is how well whoever Popovich sticks in there continues to play. You know, they've got guys that most NBA fans have never heard of who are scoring 20 points a game on any given night. I think, unfortunately for NBA fans who are bored by the Spurs, this is not the year that they're going away.
At the All-Star break, 11 of the Eastern Conference's 15 teams have losing records. How bad is it in the East?
Well, it's so bad that you had a team like Toronto, which was intentionally trying to tank the season, is now in the third spot and has to decide, well, I guess we're the third best team in the East. We can't trade away Kyle Lowry.
You said so matter-of-factly that Toronto was trying to tank the season. I'm sure the new commissioner is not happy to hear that.
I think if you were speaking off the record, Adam would be very much aware of that. They're going to have to figure something out because it's not fun to watch a team like Philadelphia just totally deconstructing a roster in hopes of getting high draft picks. But that's what they're rewarded for doing. So you can't fault these teams. This is how it's set up to try to succeed in the NBA.
We have to talk about one other team in the context of this matter. The Milwaukee Bucks are 9-43, so surely they're not trying to win games.
Well, what's fascinating is they were. I feel a little bit bad for Milwaukee because they were trying to be good this season, as opposed to some teams which were admitting off the record before the season they were trying to, you know, sell off spare parts so they could get a high draft pick. Milwaukee wanted to be good, and they have just had so many injuries and such a bad mix of players there that now they're put in a position where they really have no choice but to try to tank.
See, my suggestion for the way to deal with this potential tanking is relegation. The couple of the really bad teams in the East just go to the Development League.
That would be fascinating to watch.
Both New York teams, as you mentioned, not doing so well, though the Nets had a lovely little moment there where their coach got named Coach of the Month, Jason Kidd. Who wins when this is over?
Who wins? I think the Nets will end up being the better team for the season. I don't think the fans win, that's for sure. You look at the Knicks and, you know, they're probably going to make a coaching change, or at least they should make a coaching change. Talk about whether Carmelo goes or stays. That seems even more dysfunctional right now than Brooklyn to me.
One point of interest always among NBA fans is how well the number one pick is going to do. This year, Cavaliers selection Anthony Bennett, not so good perhaps. What about next year?
How about next year? I think it's going to be a really interesting decision for whichever team gets the top choice. You can go Jabari Parker, who's the most NBA ready. You can go Wiggins, who some people still believe has the most upside. Or I think it's interesting to see this. We got our first high school to the NBA guy in Dante Exum in a while coming from Australia. You have four or five legit guys who could go first, all of whom could be multi-year all-stars, and hence all the very fevered tanking that's been going on.
LeBron James this week characterized himself as one of the top four players in NBA history, along with Larry Bird, Michael Jordan, and Magic Johnson. Has anybody in your business or perhaps on Press Row said maybe he might want to look back a little further in NBA history at, say, Bill Russell or Wilt Chamberlain or Kareem Abdul-Jabbar?
Yeah, that was interesting. You know, he could be right. He could end up being right about him being that good. But that's usually something you let other people say, right?
Yes, I would say so.
And especially if your frame of reference is just guys you've seen on NBA superstars videos growing up. You might want to look back and see a guy who averaged, you know, 40-plus points per game, or who once scored 100 in a game.
Exactly.
You know, or Bill Russell, you know, LeBron's won two titles. Well, you know, go look how many rings Bill has.
Chris Ballard covers the NBA for Sports Illustrated. He's also the author of the book One Shot at Forever. Chris, thanks very much.
All right. Take care.